And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post podcast, live from Camden, New Jersey, at Sixers practice facility, where I am joined, thrilled to be joined, honestly, by the one and only, one of the only players in the league who could declare that they want to be MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season, and it's not ridiculous. Philadelphia star Joel Embiid, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm good. That's a good goal. That's like, why not this year?
It is a great goal. I mean, obviously, the team success matters more, but I know that if I do accomplish everything when it comes to the team, and that's by meaning winning 60 and over games, be the number one seed, and you know, do what I do best, I feel like I have a pretty good chance of winning both awards.
And only two guys, I think, have ever done it before.
Akeem and MJ.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
Why not? The last time we saw you was after the shot, crying, being consoled by Marc Gasol. Obviously, like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime moment either way, good or bad, for Toronto, for you guys. What I want to know is, you get back to the locker room, what are your memories of the locker room after that shot? Does anyone speak? Do you seek out anyone to talk to? Just to, like, who's your friend on the team you go to in moments like that? Like, what are you always going to remember, flashbulb memories from that locker room?
Well, nothing really. I was just staring at nothing. In that situation, I wanted to be consoled, but it was by my girlfriend, and she was there for me. That helped, a lot, I guess. And then I remember talking to Jimmy. We just talked a little bit. He tried to make me feel better. But that moment, there's really nothing to think about. You're not really thinking about anything. You just like, and he's also because I'm so competitive, like I really wanted it and I felt like we had a really, really good chance to make it happen. And I've also felt like I wasn't at my best. Like, my knee wasn't right and I was sick. So I felt like I let everybody down.
How are you right now physically?
I'm good. I'm great.
Everything's ready to go.
Yes, sir.
About the aftermath of that game, when you were crying on the floor, I remember thinking, you know, this happened to Chris Bosh when they lost their first finals. He gets photographed, videotaped crying. And everyone kind of said, oh, he's weak, he's a wimp, this has no place in sports. And I was actually kind of surprised by the response to you was the opposite. It was like, this is kind of cool to see how much this guy cares. Were you ever worried about, like, I wonder what the, like, this is a very vulnerable moment for me, I wonder what the reaction is going to be? Were you surprised? It was, like, very positive, I felt.
I mean, in that situation, you don't really think about, I mean, if anybody knows me, I don't really care what people say or do or whatever. I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to say whatever I want. So in that situation, you're not really thinking about, like, oh, what's going to happen? Now people are going to say that, oh, I'm weak and this and that. That situation, like, you just care about winning, and you just lost a big chance of accomplishing it, and especially – the shot, the way it went, it was a great shot. But the way it happened, it's a lot of emotion. So, I'm sure the reaction was mixed. I didn't pay attention to it. I haven't been on social media all summer, but I'm sure it was mixed. But when I got back home, you know, they heard us, people that were like, can't cry? Like, cause we African, we're tough, like, especially my family. Like, everybody's tough. So they're all telling me, like, can we cry on national TV, this and that? I'm like, oh my God. But that's just the way it is. That's just the way I grew up. And I'm not that emotional, but, you know, in that situation, like, you can't control it. But then again, like I said, if I could guess what happened in that situation, it was the shot and what I didn't do for my teammates. Like, I wasn't healthy and I was sick. I'm like, I mean, it's hard to control sickness, and you can't really control it. But in that situation, I'm like, I really did let my teammates down.
So I've already gone on record. I'm picking the Sixers to make the finals this year. There are a number of things that make me nervous about that pick. I'm a little nervous. Okay. One of them is when I read stories about Landry Shamet saying he brings four milkshakes on the plane for Joel. I'm like, I want Joel like a machine in May and June. I want the diet to be.
First of all, it's not a real. It is a real story.
It's a real story.
It did that, but I never ate none of that.
Really?
Yeah, but because as a rookie, you got to make them work. So like nobody else on the team ever wanted to like have him do stuff and know that stuff. Like sometimes like they were having him doing stuff, but I was like, got to make them work. And like you try to find ways to like get them to do more than they should. And those type of stuff. I don't drink milkshakes.
I don't care. How is the diet this summer?
The diet is great.
Have you eliminated anything?
I haven't eliminated stuff, but I lost 20 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a food that they wanted you to eliminate or a drink anything?
Not really. Okay. It's just about like eating the right way and, you know, making sure I do the right things.
We're good to go.
We're good.
Okay. Well, it's actually, I don't even need to make light of it because you, I think, what I was told by someone who knows you is that you feel like I know my body, I've studied my body, like I want my opinions taken seriously. People make these funny jokes about the Shirley Temples and this and that, but like, you've done a lot of work, you've done a lot of research, like you want to be heard within the team, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole goal of it. That relationship is needed. You know, they do understand what I like, and we got to find ways to like make it healthier. And we got, instead of like, I mean, it's hard to like, I mean, I'm sure over the years, I'm going to eliminate stuff, which I've done. But you can't just go from like liking something, just like be like, okay, I'm going to stop eating. That's not healthy. Like, especially mentally, you just got to go slowly. And I'm sure over the years, it's going to be even better. But he's already better. I feel great.
Has any player, you are the best trash talker in the league, but on social media and maybe on the floor, like what you've done to Andre Drummond, I almost feel sad for Andre Drummond vicariously. Has there ever been a player who has asked you either privately or during a game, hey man, can you please stop? You're getting in my, like, is this starting to hurt my feelings?
Well, they don't need to say that. You can see that on their faces. Like guys, I mean, I'm not talking trash ever again. Allegedly, maybe. I don't know. But
you have decided.
I'm done with all that. I just want to play basketball. Well, that's what I'm saying now, but we're going to see if I can hold up. they don't have to say that. But you can see in their faces, like you're talking to them. They won't even look at you. Like, you know, sometimes like, people might look at that like, oh, they don't care. They're hearing what you're saying. They're hearing everything you're saying. But they won't even look at you because they're scared. They know. They won't even try to – they act like they don't pay attention, but they do that. You know they do. And they won't look at you. They won't say anything. And then, like – and the best way to talk trash is also dominate. And when you dominate them and you talk some more to them, and then after the game you go on social media and talk some more, like, that's really hurtful. Sometimes I feel bad for them, and that's why I had to stop.
I tell you this. You talk to people within Minnesota, they're like, the day after Joel went at Karl Towns defense on Instagram, he started trying a lot harder. Thank you, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole goal. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help them. If I call out your defense or if I say that you can't do this, like, you should, like, want to take it to your heart and be like, okay, I got to get better. Someone call me. I would like someone to do that for me.
No one's ever tried. Someone has tried.
Nah, not really. No one really. But I like when people or fans are like, you can't do this, because I'm like, okay, like, now I got to work on that. Now I got to get better. Like, you can't average 27 points. Now I got to go average 27 points. You can't average 30. Now, you know, with the right management and the right minutes, I can go average 30.
Has there been a player you've tried to talk trash to who actually, like, you couldn't get in their head, like someone who just wouldn't take the bait? The guy that comes to mind, like, I could see Jokic just being like, I can't.
I don't talk trash to Jokic.
No?
No, I don't.
Why?
I don't know. There's some guys you can talk trash to them, and there's some other guys you just got to dominate them as a way to like talk trash and say some stay stuff sometimes. But then again, if you look at it, the only people that I talk trash to, if I think about it, I always say I don't start it. They have to do something for me to go back at them. And, you know, you mentioned Jokic. She's never done anything to me. We just come and we just play basketball. We just do what we have to do to get the win, and then we move on. And he's a great dude. He's a great guy, too. So, I mean, if I talk trash to somebody, I mean, it means that they've tried to say something to me.
Okay, so you're just defending yourself. Yes, retaliating.
Yes, I just retaliate. I don't start it.
People, do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? It's as if they're so big and so unwieldy they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. But with millions of live ticket events and price match guarantees, SeatGeek has proven there is a better way. You can search for sports tickets, music tickets, comedy tickets. The NBA season is right around the corner. Go to your favorite NBA arena. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. No more going to 17 secondary market sites. It's all on SeatGeek. They built the fastest way to find tickets. It has an easy-to-use rating system, color-coded. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots mean the deal might be overpriced. It rates every deal from 1 to 10. That's pretty easy to use. It has an interactive seat map. Every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. I've used SeatGeek many times to buy tickets, including to Broadway plays and stuff. It's fast. It's easy. It saves you time. And SeatGeek right now will even give you $10 off your first purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. So download the SeatGeek app today. Use promo code LOWE, L-O-W-E, my last name, the name of this podcast. Bam. $10 off your first purchase. That could be a decent percentage of a sporting event, a baseball game, a basketball game. That's promo code LOW for $10 off your first purchase with SeatGeek.
Brett Brown once gave me a great quote about figuring out the fit. Now, this is when Jimmy was here, but figuring out the fit of all the big stars on the team. And he said, you know, we've Ben and Joel, they play at different paces. They do different things. And we've tried to talk to Ben about it's not the 100-meter dash on every possession. You've got a big guy that you need to – if you got to wait for him, you got to wait for him. It can't be a sprint on every possession. And then sometimes, you know, when you post up on the left block, Ben will be over on the right block in the right dunker spot. Now, Brett says he's going to move him out of there and all that. But so from your perspective, and there's always interest, how do Ben and Joel get along? How's the fit? How do you think you fit on the floor?
Oh, man. When you look at it, we're in a situation where the thing that matters the most is the playoffs. And the game slows down in the playoffs. You can't just, you know, sprint. And I'm fine playing that way. I love playing that way because it's just there's more possessions and more shots goes around. Everybody is happy instead of, like, you know, everybody talking, like, I want the ball, I want this and that, like, I don't think that's right. But, you know, the game slows down in the playoffs. You got to find ways to score. It's basically a half-court game. So I don't, like, I feel like I've shown that I would do what it takes to win. Like, I don't really like shooting threes, but if I got to help Ben create, I got to, like, give him some space and create some space to him to, like, you know, just attack. And I would do that if I have to take 4 or 5 threes a game just to make sure that, you know, everybody else on the team got some space instead of just, like, staying on the low block and just, like, demand the ball all the time. I would rather make sure that everybody's happy because at the end of the team chemistry is more important than anything else. So that's all I care about.
Obviously, you know, the crunch time offense in that Toronto series was a lot of Jimmy. Jimmy's gone. Brett, at his media luncheon the other day, said, you know, the number one answer to that question this year is going to be Joel. Joel is going to be our number one option in crunch time, period. And so that's, you know, this is the days of Olajuwon dominating in crunch time. The rules are totally different. What defenses can do in the post and against the post are totally different. Can you dominate consistently in crunch time as a big man on the block in 2019? Is that still a thing that can happen?
I believe so, but it's harder. And that's why this summer was focused a lot on, you know, my handles and my shot off the dribble. Meaning that, you know, losing Jimmy and losing JJ, Nah, it gets tighter, especially with JJ, losing JJ. The space gets tighter and, you know, defenses are going to double team more, or they're going to be digging a lot because you don't have, like, I mean, we got some great shooters, but you don't have like a player like JJ. Like, you can't, there's no way a team can go into the game and leave JJ alone.
Like, you don't like, give him an inch.
This year, you don't have that. Like, we got great shooters, but they're gonna make sure they focus on me first, and then they're gonna make everybody else shoot the ball. So this summer was focused a lot on, you know, just my handle and attacking off the dribble. So now, like I said, it's harder when you think about just posting someone up and just have him go get the bucket back to the basket. It's hard nowadays because defenses come, you know, double teams and all that stuff. It's harder to double team, but off the dribble, it's harder to double team off the dribble. So we worked a lot on that, and I'm excited. I got a lot better.
So when something like Al Horford becomes possible for the team, that's a guy who's guarded you in the playoffs. It's a guy who's played mostly center in the last couple of years, which is your position. Do they come to you beforehand? Does Elton or whoever come to you beforehand and say, hey, here, this is something that's on the table for us. It's an interesting fit. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. Yes, they do. And Elton is a great guy. He's been amazing. CNC took over, for, what was it? Brian Colangelo, I think. Yes, he was. He's been doing a great job, and they've done it before. So, you know, sometimes if they need my opinion, they will come up to me. Obviously, I just want to play basketball, but if I think something is right, I will give my opinion, but they don't have to like go off on what I think. And I always tell them, I'm like, don't, like, you guys know better than me, especially when it comes to that business side. This time around, I was actually away from the country. I was in the Maldives. No connection. I was away. It was like doing free agency. So, it was harder for them to get in touch with me, but they try. I didn't have any connections or anything like that.
Al, obviously, you know, when Boston played Milwaukee, his job was to guard Giannis. When you guys played Milwaukee, sometimes you got the Giannis assignment. So if you had beaten Toronto, would you have guarded Giannis in the next series? And how do you feel in that matchup in terms of like a comfort level?
I feel like it's a great matchup for me.
And you were nodding, saying you were going to guard him.
Yes, I was going to guard him the whole series. And he said it before. He said when I'm on him, he's harder. He's way harder for him. And then, but when he has Ben or, I don't know, he said Jimmy or whatever, that is, I guess, easier for him. So I present something different from like those other two guys, especially when it comes, Giannis is pretty strong, especially when it comes to like strength. And, you know, all I have to do is basically, but he's a great player. You got to respect him, and I'm sure he got a lot better. Like I said, I'm not talking trash. I'm trying to say the right thing.
I don't like this immature Joel Embiid. I'm not mature. I don't like this. It's fun.
I'm trying to say the right things. He's a great player. Can't wait to play him again. But now we have like a guy like that has done a great job of, you know, guarding him. Giannis is going to be Giannis. He was the MVP this past season. So sometimes he's going to dominate. Sometimes you're going to be able to stop him. Anybody's like that. So I'm excited about that matchup.
Is it hard not to look ahead to that matchup? I mean, the East is so stacked at the top with you two and then a bunch of kind of question marks. Is it hard to like already kind of itching for like Milwaukee-Philly conference finals?
You got to take game by game. Like I said, I won that first seed, and last year they won over 60 games, and he's going to take that. He's going to take us winning over that 60 games. So home court advantage is – I never understood that until last year. When you think about the way we played at home compared to on the road, it was – two different teams. Like, if that game 7 would have been in Philly, it would have been a different story, I think. But that home court advantage is so important. And I kind of understood that this summer after the loss. We need it. We play, great basketball in front of our fans. But that matchup, I mean, if that's what you think is going to happen, which there's a great chance it happens, he's going to be great.
The home games in that series, I said game three in that series was, I think, the best game you guys played the whole season. That was just I watched that game and I was like, oh my God, they've figured out kind of what they are as a team.
Even game four, you know, I've been watching all these games this summer. Even game four, we missed a lot of shots, but our defense was great. But we did miss a lot of shots that game.
Last one. All my Philly friends demanded that I ask you about this.
I know what's coming.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go Pack, go.
Yes.
I don't follow football much anymore. Are you a Packers fan? Are you just trying to play with the Philly fan? I don't know what happened.
I am a Packers fan. You know, I have a good relationship with Aaron Rodgers and,
goes to a lot of Bucks games, by the way, in the playoffs.
He came to, when I was at Kansas, he came to one of our practices and then I got to talk to him. And, since then, great guy. Since then, I've been following him. And then that's how I got to, Philly. I was already following him because he was such a great guy to talk to. And then that's how I became a Packers fan because of him. So I've always supported them. And then one thing is, if the Eagles play any teams in the league, of course I'm going to support the Eagles because I've embraced the city and I've fallen in love with the city. And that's what I'm going to do because I like the Eagles. But when it comes to the Packers, I mean, that was before Philly. I don't know. You gotta
stick to your teams.
Yeah, you gotta stick to your teams.
You gotta stick with it.
Okay, I'm a big soccer fan or football, real football.
Football.
Yes. And then he's like, my favorite team has always been Real Madrid. It's like, you're asking me to come support the Union in Philly and change it instead of supporting Madrid. One of the best teams in the world, or probably the most famous team in the world, instead of supporting that, I gotta support the Union. Come on. That's ridiculous. But then again, it is ridiculous. It is. That's really ridiculous. But then again, if the Eagles play anybody else, of course, Eagles Nation. But when it comes to the Packers.
Do you know the words to fly, Eagles fly? Do you know the words
fly, on the road to victory. Fly, Eagles, fly. Score touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Eat them high.
Hit them low, there you go.
Fly, watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly. No, 1, 2, 3. E-A-G-L-E-S. Well, there you go.
Eagles. Very good.
There you go.
All right, on that note, you've got to go do other media things. You've been very generous for your time. I can't even remember the NBA without you. It's been so much fun watching you. And I just, as a neutral fan who just wants all the best teams and the best players to be healthy, my only wish is please fall over less. Every time you fall over, I get very, very scared. I can't imagine what the Sixers are. Please either work on your falling over technique or fall less. That's my only wish.
Well, I'm working to be an actor, so you gotta start working on those scenes and all that stuff. But I would try. But then again, I'm so competitive.
You're playing hard. I get it.
So competitive. Like, there's some stuff you can't control. I will try, but I can't control it. It's just my nature. If I gotta save a ball, you know, every play matters. I don't care if it's the regular season or playoffs. Like, every play matters. Especially because, you have team goals and you have personal goals. You don't know. What if I jump in the stands in the second quarter and then at the end of the game, that possession matters. Everything matters. It doesn't matter. So you gotta look at the big picture. I know that, but I will try my best.
I love it. Joel, thanks for your time. Good luck this season.
I appreciate you.
live from Media Day with the Philadelphia 76ers, my pick to make the finals in the East, although I'm a little frightened by that. I'm thrilled to be joined by one of my favorite under-the-radar players in the league, a guy that I called the best player on the Heat two seasons ago when people were finally starting to smarten up about it. Josh Richardson, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I was around the Heat enough to know that you guys, and particularly the guys who were on that team that went from 11 and 30 to almost 500 or whatever I finished at, you guys have a special bond, and you've talked about it since you got traded. So what I'm wondering is, how did you learn you had gotten traded? Who called you, and what was your reaction to it at first?
Yeah, I mean, at first I was kind of like, this is crazy. I didn't know like what was going to happen, and like Bam was like, wow, that's crazy. But once I started looking at like the roster that we were going to have going into this year, I kind of got excited, and I kind of started like talking mess to Bam already.
Well, you faced the Sixers in the playoffs with the Heat.
Yeah.
So you lived the other side of it. During that series, did Joel ever get you with any trash talk? I mean, he might be the best trash talker in the league. Are there any Joel Embiid trash talking you memories from that series?
No. I was really going at it with like JJ talking to him and Ben, but no, I didn't really hear anything from Joel.
JJ?
Yeah. Me and JJ always would kind of like bark back and forth a little bit.
Does he swear or does he keep it PG-13?
Nah, he keeps it pretty PG-13. He's a super smart guy. So more of his talk is just like at the ref, like, you know, look at what he's doing and stuff like that. And I'm like,
oh, you're being too physical with him.
And I
didn't
like
that.
Tell him to stop doing whatever.
Who's your first call from the Sixers? Who calls you first?
Tobias Harris.
Really?
Yeah.
Just saying welcome aboard?
Yeah, he FaceTimed me and was like, oh, here we go. And then Brett Brown FaceTimed me right after.
And what did he say?
Just how excited he was to have me. And, you know, he'd been watching me the last few years and was excited about my growth, stuff like that.
I've said before, I think Brett Brown could motivate me to rob a bank. He's like, when he talks, if he started planning it, I'd be like, I'm in, Brett. I'm in. He's such a motivational guy.
Yeah.
What made the brotherhood like that in Miami? What made it a place where, I mean, one of the things I read after you got traded, it was very touching. You said, I'm going to be a fan of the Heat. I'm going to be a fan of the Clippers or wherever other guys get traded off this team. That's, you don't hear that level of like, these are guys I'm going to follow the rest of my life kind of talk. What made it so special there?
Man, it's just, you know, all the adversity we went through. I think that one year missing the playoffs by one game, like, really brought us real close together. We were in the locker room for like an hour after that game. And, from there, like every season after that was like, we just got closer and closer. And, as guys started getting moved, we were all calling each other. And like, I think Tyler Johnson was one of the first ones. And, from there on, we were just all like, we're going to keep up with each other. We're still going to support each other. Guys who came from G League or came from nothing.
The jungle, right? That's what you guys called it.
From the jungle. Yeah. That's what we called it. And so that was kind of a thing that we all had in common.
By the way, did you guys know when you're 11 and 30, how close the team came to maybe tanking that season? Like there was a moment where they've talked about it, where they were like, we might have to have a meeting and figure out, you know, how, like, if we got to go the other way.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that, but I mean, it makes sense.
You got a sense that as players, right? Like maybe something's going to come here if we're going down this road.
Yeah.
So you are remarkably the smallest player in the biggest starting five in the NBA. How do you look at your fit here on offense? What do you envision? Cause in Miami, it was interesting. You started off 3-and-D. Then you started to do a little more on ball, then a lot of on ball pick and roll stuff. What do you think you're going to be doing here?
Just be a shot maker, you know, stretch the court for Ben and to get in the paint and do what he does. I mean, he's a guy that people have difficulty matching up with just from his athleticism. You know, get Allen, bend the ball and just be able to be a viable option, you know, going down the stretch, being able to handle when, guys aren't in and, being a quiet leader for us.
See, and another thing is, you know, last year JJ was the guy that a lot of times the other team would put the smallest defender on. Mm-hmm. That's going to be you now. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of the things I've talked about with some people on the team is we can do a lot with that. Like we can have Josh screen for people and get switches. We can have Josh handle the ball and get switches. Have you thought about that? And have you thought about like if those switches happen and I got a 4 or a 5 on me, like I got to go to work a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's either way too. You know, if I get a big guy on me, I can, you know, create, get in the lane, draw some help, either finish, make a shot or pass. And then, you know, if the smallest guy's on Al or on Tobias, just
throw it in.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, how people match up.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. My wife and I were just in Europe, and I said the most underrated thing that you can do is look up, and there's all sorts of cool stuff up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp, blimps are cool, has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Do you have goals? Like, do you think about, like, I want to shoot 40% from three? Do you have benchmarks like that, or do you just play?
I just usually play because my rookie year, I was about to break the record for the three-point percentage in a month. And I remember, like, we were going to play the Lakers, our last game of the month, and I went 0 for 5, and I was really thinking about it, and I missed it by, like, 0.02%.
See, that's when you just got to not shoot. Remember, Mo, there was a couple years ago a famous story. Mo Harkless had a bonus in his contract for 35%. He was at like 35.2. He's like, I'm not shooting the rest of the season. I got my bonus. See, that's what you should have done.
I can't play like that.
So someone with the Heat told me this because I asked some people, like, when did you guys realize Josh was going to be better than anyone thought he was going to be when he was the 40th pick and X, Y, and Z? And he talked about your shooting. He said, I remember one shoot around. Spo put Josh through a shooting drill where I don't know what the exact drill was, where you had to make a certain number of shots. And like, it was, you are not leaving until this drill is done. Yeah. And Josh got a little angry, but he did it. So what's the story?
It was on an off day. Actually.
Oh, it's not a shoot around. Okay.
And I went in to shoot and, I was shooting with Coach Quinn and Spo came up and, actually, I think I was shooting with an intern. He was rebounding for me. Coach Spo came up and was watching for a minute. And he got on the court, started rebounding. It was like, you have to make 70 out of 100 before you leave. And I was like, okay, whatever. And the first time I made 64. And then he made me run 10 down and backs after that.
Baseline to baseline?
Yeah. And I was like, man, I can't believe that. And so I went again. And I made 67, and I was like, come on. I had to run 10 more. And that did, I went again, and I was getting tired, and I made 69. I missed, like, the second to last one to put me under. And I was, like, I was freaking out. Like, I was saying some stuff I can't repeat. I was upset. And I had to run again. And then I went the fourth time, and I finally got it. And so that was just, like, I feel like that was one of the big turning points for me.
That's a very Heat thing. The Heat are not for everybody, right?
No.
Like, there are some guys in the league who couldn't hack it there.
No. If you have any ounce of soft, then you're not going to make it over there.
Were there ever any fights in practice? Because you guys put, like, it'll say on the whiteboard, pads today, or, like, bring all the pads today, because that means like, we're going hard.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
This information cannot be disclosed.
One of the things I'm curious about, JJ had an element to this offense, just in the movement, and particularly his two-man game with Joel, where he would screen for Joel sometimes. Mm-hmm. Have you, and I thought, you know, you did a lot more coming off screens in various ways in Miami last season. Have you watched film of JJ or thought about ways where, like, I can bring a little bit of that to the team?
I mean, I've guarded it. So, yeah. I've seen how, like, effective he is in that offense.
Fair point.
And, I've seen a few of the things he can do. I mean, I'm not, like, the catch-and-shoot player that he is. You know, he's probably the best in the league at just movement and finding his shots off of screens, but there's definitely a lot of different ways I can affect his offense that he does.
Is it true that you were not invited to the Chicago draft combine?
Yes.
That's insane.
I was hot. I was not happy.
I will tell you this. In retrospect, the Heat are like, it was probably good for us that he wasn't invited because I think he would have blown up there and we wouldn't have been able to get him.
Might be true, honestly. I probably would have.
Is there anything to do in Sioux Falls where the Heat's G League team is?
Not a thing.
I think they like it that way.
That's the most Heat thing that they could probably do. Just put you in the middle of nowhere and just basketball, really, honestly.
It's far away. It's really far. I've never been there. But they could move it to Miami. Did you keep a place in Miami at least? Miami's so out. You kept the place.
Yeah,
okay.
I kept my house there.
Is it true that you like pineapple on pizzas?
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
This is a controversial. This has become a controversial topic. Yeah. I think it's disgusting. Sell me on pineapple on pizza. Yeah, I think it's gross.
Okay. So like, I'm a big fan of sweet and savory at the same time. Like I like chips and like candy or like popcorn and chocolate covered raisins in movies. So like pineapple on pizza, first of all, and roasted or like cooked pineapple is great too. And when you put it on pizza with like the right toppings, it's like the perfect amount of a little sweetness with like the savory goodness of pizza.
Maybe I'll give it another shot.
I think you should. I think you should try the kind that I eat.
Okay. Okay. Toughest guy to guard in the NBA.
James Harden.
Okay. That's, has he gotten you before? You haven't fallen over, right? Have you fallen over?
No. I've never fallen ever from being like crossed or nothing, but his offense is great. He's super strong. He's stronger than people give him credit for. His footwork is great. I mean, he can make any shot on the court and he's always just very aggressive.
I was going to ask, how do you think he's going to fit with Russ? But I'm more curious. You guys have a very unconventional team here, a very big team. How do you think, you probably haven't gotten out on the floor with Al and Joel and everybody yet, but how do you think in a small ball league, you guys are kind of going the other way. How do you think it's going to fit?
Hopefully great. I mean, it's not like we have big guys that can't move. So, I mean, we have big athletic guys. So I feel like that's a little different than having like big sloths out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it'll go well.
I think so too. I, like I said, I picked you guys to make the finals. I'm a little bit frightened by that because it is an unconventional team.
Always frightening making finals picks though.
It is a little bit because you could be really wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm confident. And you've never made all defense, right?
No, never.
It's a goal.
Yes.
I think you guys should have the best defense in the league. So like that could be a goal this year, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think, off top or on paper, I think we should have a top three at least.
I think you guys have a chance to get three guys on the all defense out of the 10. I think you guys can get three on the all defense team. I don't know if that's ever been done before, but Joel will make it. And between you, Ben, and Al, it's like that starting five is a monster.
True. True.
All right. Well, Josh Richardson, you got to go do about 14 other things on media day. Thank you for taking a little time and enjoy the rest of the parade of questions you have to answer. But good luck this season, man. It's been fun watching you.
Thank you.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.